I'm trying to think, when is the last time we have had a big balloon in the front of the church saying happy birthday to Pastor Nate? Now, isn't that incredible?
First time for everything.
What I reminded him of was that he's 1 year older than he was last year. Well, a few weeks ago, over a period of 2 weeks, we observed the life of a man in the Old Testament referred to as a judge. Now, when you and I think of the word judge, we probably think of our legal system today. But the judge of the Old Testament is not the same as a judge today. In the Old Testament, the word judge meant leader or hero or deliverer from the enemies. In Samson's time, the enemy happened to be the Philistines. Interesting that they were in Gaza. We've heard a lot about Gaza in the world today. And we are told that the Palestinians are, in fact, the descendants of the Philistines. Kind of interesting if that is indeed true. We've already examined two of the three very important topics in Samson's life. We've been observing Samson's life to see what we can learn from him. Now, in Scripture, there are lots of people that are listed, and something that you and I can learn is this. We can learn how we ought to act or how we ought not to act. And in Samson's life, we are finding out two items, how to act and how not to act. Well, first of all, we looked at the restraining favor in his life, and namely, the Lord blessed him with wonderful, God-fearing parents. And that always strikes a note to me, God-fearing parents, parents who want to bring their children up in the understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for them, noble God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in this Old Testament, they didn't know as much about God the Father and the coming Son and the Holy Spirit as we do today. But nonetheless, he had God-fearing parents. There were two things in his favor, his God-fearing parents and his supernatural strength. Samson knew how he ought to live his life, but sadly, he determined to go his own way and not what he knew he should do. You remember that he was told that he was operating under the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow has nothing to do with Nazarene. If you come from Nazareth, you're called a Nazarene. But this is the Nazarite vow. And as such, he was to refrain from wine and strong drink, refrain from cutting the hair off of his head, and refrain from any contact with the dead. Those were the three things that he was to refrain from. In our study of Samson, we discovered that he engaged in all three of these actions, which was not only a great disappointment to his parents, but also it was directly against what God would have him do. Now, in that, there is a lesson for you and for me. Life of Samson. We must be extremely cautious that we do not deliberately go against what we know to be God's will in our life. Now, I wonder if there are any guidelines. And there are guidelines, and we looked at them previously. But here's the number that we can think about. We are not to have fellowship with unholy practices, unholy pleasures, unholy so-called prophets, people who are misleading others, unholy people, and unholy places. Now, when we think of this litany, this list that we have before us, it's something that you and I need to be very cautious of. It's so easy for us to get involved in an unholy practice or go to an unholy place. But yet in our heart, because God's Spirit is working within us, we know that this is not where we ought to be. And therefore, we need to be ever alert to make sure that we refrain from each of these things. It is something that we need to be ever vigilant about, because the devil, the evil one, the father of lies, he roams about like a roaring lion. He does so to see who he can get on his side. Now, unbelievers are already on his side, but as believers, we need to be cautious, because Satan has an unquenchable thirst to keep us from fully placing our trust in Jesus in every aspect of our life. He wants to get at us. He wants to move us away. He wants us to get off track. This seems to be his goal in life. Secondly, we were observing the recurring failure in his life. Now, the major problem or challenge that Samson had was that he was contaminated by the world of his time. What was going on in the world of his time, he was going to follow that instead of following the Lord. And we know that Scripture reminds us that while we are believers and we are in the world, we are not of the world. Physically, our citizenship is on earth, but spiritually, our citizenship is in heaven. We are in this world, but as believers, we are not of the world. Unbelievers are in the world, and they are of the world. But you and I, as believers, we are in it, but we are not of the world. We do not want the world or society or custom or culture to direct our thinking. We need to look to the Word of God. We do not base our theology and change our theology because of what the world says, because of what custom says, because of what culture says. We keep to our theology because of what the Word of God says. That's why we uphold the Word of God with such high authority within our congregation. Pastor Nate mentioned that we are a congregation that believe in prayer, but we also believe in the Word of God, and we follow the Word of God, and it's vital for us to do so. And this is important for you and me. Samson knew what it was he had to do, but he decided to follow the way of the world. Well, now this morning, we've looked at two important topics in the past couple of weeks. This morning, the Lord willing, we are going to look at the redeeming feature in his life. So let's refer to the Word of God as we find in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16, beginning to read at verse number 23. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 251. The words are on the screen. Let us hear the Word of God. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who has laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women, watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshkatal in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, now then, what do we learn from Samson's life? He prayed, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." When we think about Samson's situation, how comforting it is to know that even in the most dire of straits, we can still turn to the Lord. When there is repentance and faith on our part, God hears, God answers, God touches. Perhaps you have. I have in my experience. I've talked to people who think they have sinned so badly and so often and so much that there's no way that God could save them. Not true. Even at the last minute, to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, it is never, ever too late. There are things known as deathbed confessions that people finally get into the point where they know they're going to die, and they wonder what's going to happen to them, what happens when they do die. And somebody needs to tell them about Jesus and tell them about life eternal. Because when people die, our soul, our spirit, our mind, our personality go out into eternity, and we go out in either one of two places. We go to be with Jesus or to be without him. I pray that all of us have put our trust in him, and we will go to be with him. In scripture, we discover about Samson, in spite of his circumstances, remember now, he had lost his strength, he lost his eyes, he was acting as a servant. In spite of his circumstances, in spite of his defeat, and in spite of his previous disobedience, he was a mighty man of faith when the time came for him to finally turn back to the Lord and put his trust in him. And he did this in an environment where there was a lot of doubt and a lot of distrust, and in an environment where people were worshiping a God that was not God Almighty. And so here was Samson in the midst of it. And he said this, we read this in scripture. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. There are groups of people today that are worshiping the wrong God. They are worshiping a small g God, not a capital G God. The capital G God refers to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, our Creator. There are people who are worshiping a small g God, and they believe their prayers are being answered. What they don't know is all of these small g gods are none other than those who are inspired by Satan himself. And they are following Satan and are following the Lord God Almighty. Now we notice in this, the Philistines were following this so-called god by the name of Dagon, small g. Apparently this false god was portrayed as the god of vegetation and fertility. This is very interesting, this god, Dagon. Dagon was portrayed as half man and half fish. And we all have heard of a mermaid, and sometimes you've heard of mermans. Well, this Dagon was a merman, so to speak. This was the time when they had Dagon and brought him in. Now, on another occasion, when the Ark of the Covenant, now the Ark of the Covenant belonged to the Jewish people, not to anyone else. And at times, the Ark of the Covenant left Israel and went where it ought not to go. And on one occasion, the Philistines came in and took the Ark of the Covenant with them. And so we read this. The Ark of the Covenant was in the hands of the Philistines. They carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark. We find that in 1 Samuel. Now then, to add insult to injury, the same thing happened the next day. Only this time, when they went back into the temple where Dagon was, Dagon's head and hands had been broken. The Philistines, they were slow in getting the message, but they finally got the message, and they took the Ark of the Covenant back, or sent it back, to be with the people of Israel. It was interesting that the Ark of the Covenant had more power in it than their god Dagon. It must have been quite a lesson to them. Now, in the midst of this great sacrifice to Dagon, with Samson now present, hear these words. Samson prayed, God heard, and God answered. Samson prayed, God heard, and God answered. When you and I pray, God hears. Now you might ask yourself the question, I've prayed, but I don't have an answer. Keep this in mind. When we pray, God hears. And when he hears, he's going to say yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. But we need to continue waiting on the Lord, because somewhere along the line, according to his grace, he is going to not only hear our prayer, he's heard it. He's going to answer our prayer in the way that is best for you and best for me. Samson emerged from utter defeat with one climactic triumph. But notice two important truths. His restoration and his vindication were through faith in God. restored, and vindication through faith in God. Restoration was through faith in God. We read this. We didn't read it this morning, but I'm reading it now. The hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Think about Samson. Put yourself in his position to think that he had immense strength, supernatural strength, and he was also able to see, just like you and I are able to see. He was able to see with his two eyes. To have these two abilities removed from a person would be tremendously disheartening. And to top it all off, he was completely humiliated because he was acting as an animal. He had to act and pull a millstone around to crush grain, to grind grain. He had, in my opinion, a lot of time to think. He must have been thinking back over his life. He must have been thinking, I had parents who told me what I ought to do. I had this vow which I knew I was supposed to follow. And yet I decided to go my own way. And now look at the consequences of going my own way. Samson's consequences were severe. And the truth of the matter is, consequences to you and to me may also be severe if we do not follow the Lord. Scripture tells us that a good father will discipline his children, discipline the children so they'll grow up in the right way. And so God also disciplines those who belong to him if we need it to try and keep us on track. Samson decided to go his own way. And so that's a great red flag for you and for me. That is, let's not go our way. Let's not go what we want, do what we want to do. Let us come before the Lord in prayer and pray that his Spirit will lead us in what we have to do. I submit, I don't know it for sure, but I submit that Samson was probably deeply chastising himself for not following the Lord's way. I suspect all of this had a very humbling experience upon him, and it caused him to take inventory of his life and finally say, I must get back to the Lord. I must turn my attention back to him. The story is told of Julius Caesar, who had a friend, and Caesar gave his friend a very generous present. When Caesar offered it, his friend said, this is too much for me to receive. But Caesar said, but it's not too much for me to give. Not too much for me to give. And on this Communion Sunday, on this Sunday when we're gathering around the Lord's table, we are reminded of our Savior's gift to us. It's too much for him to give to us. But Jesus said, it's not too much for me to give. Around the communion table, he gave his life to pay for your sin and mine. We remember it by participating with the bread and the cup. In our case, the grape juice. And we do this in remembrance of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and his coming back again. Two important truths. His restoration was through faith in God. His vindication was through faith in God. This wonderful prayer, O Sovereign Lord, remember me. That's quite a prayer. O Sovereign Lord, remember me. Do you remember the Pharisee who was at the altar and he was praising himself and saying, how wonderful I am. Lord, I do everything you want me to do. I'm not like this guy over here, this poor sinner. I'm not like him at all. I'm much better than he is. And then the sinner wouldn't lift his eyes up to the Lord. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the approach we need to take. O Sovereign Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. The Philistines were gathered to sacrifice to their god Dagon, to rejoice over their capture of Samson. When they were merry with wine, they brought Samson into their midst to make sport of him. Now, some scholars, familiar with the history of the Philistines at that time, maintained that he was made to dance and speak in riddles as he did in the days of his compromise with the world. They were clearly mean-hearted and they were cruel. Now, if it is true that the Palestinians or the Gazans, are really the people who follow the Philistines. They inherited this all the way down through. When we think of what happened October the 7th, the attack in Israel, they were mean-hearted. They were absolutely cruel. If these Palestinians are the outshoot of the Philistines, just absolutely incredible when you think about it. We know the rest of the story. Now, Samson persuaded a young lad to lead him to the pillars that hold up the structure. Samson's action was as follows. He got between the pillars on which the temple stood. He prayed to the Lord for strength. The Lord heard his prayer. He gave him the strength that was needed. Can you see the picture? He put his hands on either side of the pillars, and he asked God for strength, and God gave him the strength, and he pushed the pillars, and down the building came. Samson brought the building down upon his enemies and upon himself. Remember, there were about 3,000 men and women there that day. The scripture says, thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Sad conclusion to Samson's life. Finally got back into the good graces of God. God heard his prayer. God gave him his strength. He was able to take revenge for the losing his two eyes on the Philistines. What do we learn from Samson's life? We learn that his life is both an indictment that he was charged and also guilty, and encouragement. An encouragement to those who were called to live by faith. An encouragement to you and to me. We can know and experience a restraining favor through the blessing of God by the presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life and mine. Did you know that the very moment you put your trust in Jesus as Savior, God's Holy Spirit came to reside within you? God's Holy Spirit is forever with you. God's Holy Spirit is our encourager and also our restrainer. Just earlier this week, I was talking with someone who asked me about the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they wanted to know what it is that grieves the Holy Spirit, or what is that quenches the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not do what we know what we're supposed to do. Samson grieved the Holy Spirit. What about quenching the Holy Spirit? That is when we know the Holy Spirit is alive, active, and well within us, we do not listen. We put him down. What we want to do is listen. That voice that comes to our inner being, that's God's Spirit speaking to you and to me. Also, Samson had a recurring failure through compromise with the world. And you and I can learn from this. We must not compromise with the world. We must follow what the Word of God has to say. It may not be popular, but it's something that we need to do. And then finally, a redeeming feature through the triumph of faith, his faith in the Lord, your faith and mine in Jesus. No wonder we are told in God's Word, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then in Galatians, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. You and I want to be righteous. We need to live by faith. We need to listen to God's Holy Spirit, what he speaks in our mind. Often we get his instruction from reading God's Word. That's why it's important for you and me to read a portion of God's Word every day and to pray every day, to allow God's Spirit to come in. We cannot be saved by following the law. Many thought they could follow the law and they were righteous, and they would be. But no, righteousness is a gift, the gift that comes from God. Faith is a gift. We cannot earn it by keeping the law. What we need to do, but what the law does do, it shows us how far from perfection we become. If you and I want to go to heaven on our own merit, Jesus said we had to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect, which is just not possible. We cannot be perfect. So how can we gain a place in heaven? How is there a place with our name marked on it where we will go there? We do it because of faith. We put our trust in Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us. And when we do that, then that's when his Holy Spirit comes to live within. I have a question. The question is, have you placed all your trust and faith in Jesus? If not, today would be a great day to do so. Our Father and our God, we offer praise and thanksgiving unto you. We thank you for the many stories that you have in Scripture, all of which are true. How we thank you that your word is the absolute truth. How we thank you for this life of Samson. And while it is sad to see that he compromised with the world and followed the world, we are delighted that he got back in your graces. We are delighted, O God, that he finally put his trust in you where it should have been at the very beginning. Now, Lord, I pray if there are any among us this morning who have never put their full trust in you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord of their life, that they do so this hour, this moment. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.